Hello, everybody. I'm Max Cooper from The Pop Culturist. I'm here today with Rob Davis.
Hi, everyone. Hello, Max.
Nice to be here. Thank you for taking the time.
Pleasure.
We're here to talk about Ghost of Yote. So first off, I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
What a launch.
Yeah, very happy with it.
Yeah. So I know you did a panel last night at PAX. You covered a lot of the questions that I had anticipated in asking you. So if you have to ask it, if you have to answer a few questions that you've already been asked, I do apologize, but hopefully we can go into them a little bit deeper. So the first one I'm going to ask is, you mentioned that you were part of the reference gathering team. You yourself went to Hokkaido to, you went foraging with the Ainu families, bonding over the island's mountains. How did this shape what became the world of Ghosts of Yote?
I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say it really was kind of a once in every 10 years or 20 years kind of opportunity to go over and see it. Not just because I had actually never been to Hokkaido before. I'd been through different parts of Japan, but never Hokkaido. And so it's quite different from what I expected. It's way more wilderness. And the scale is quite dramatically different from what I expected. Of course, you watch things on YouTube and you do all the photo reference, and our creative director, Jason Connell, has probably the biggest collection of nature books I've ever seen. But when you're actually there and you're seeing it and you're meeting the community and finding out the scale of the actual cliffs and these incredible fields, you're sort of touched at a human level, and the emotions are quite different from what you think. So after that, when you're designing the simulated world of that feeling, you're trying to remember the actual emotions you felt in the real space and trying to make it as genuine as possible. Again, very special trip.
How do you translate that as like to the simplicity of a size of scale to what you see in real life, as to what you as a player and your agency as a player can explore?
Well, it certainly comes from the place of trusting what we saw and trusting the emotions that we felt. Yeah. So sometimes these things are not the most intuitive shapes for a perfect game design or for a traditional game design. A rolling field would often look quite empty, which in fabulous open world game about finding mysteries and hunting down the Yote 6, that might be somewhat counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But we found all these ways to honor the spaces that we saw while also creating curious shapes and what we call points of interest in the world to discover. And so it really comes back to, I know I saw this, I know how it felt. We have to trust that that's genuinely how those spaces were. And now we've got to do the creative work of making them interesting and discoverable and mysterious.
For sure. So with Ghost of Tsushima selling over 13 million copies and inspiring its own film and anime, what lessons from that development influenced Yote?
Well, I mean, samurai cinema is kind of the North Star.
I must admit, I'm playing in Kurosawa mode.
Good on you, mate.
I'm a huge fan of those films, so playing in black and white, I often have to remember to change that setting so I can actually experience what the world looks like in color, because it is such an immaculate looking game that sometimes it does, I feel it's a detriment to play it in black and white, but at the same time, that cinematic feeling of playing in that mode. I'm also playing in, I can't for the life of me remember which one it is. It's the one where the field of view is a bit shorter.
And
it's, I'm playing in that as well. So combat's a little bit harder, which is fine. I don't mind that. But it's interesting that you've put all of those, you've played homage to all those cinematic legends and put them in this as well.
Now, when you play the game in these modes, and I promise I'm answering the question.
No, that's
Do you find that the lethality feels like a real samurai?
Yes, it does. It does feel more ephemeral.
And so those types of decisions are how we think about the game. We could make the game a touch easier. You know, we could make it a little bit more. We offer a lot of different difficulties.
Yes,
of course. But the feeling of being shot off your horse by wandering mercenaries.
Yeah, that's
the clash of samurai swords. We're trying to capture the feeling of what the sea. Feel
yeah, for sure.
Samurai film. Yojimbo was a good inspiration for us.
Yeah.
I like the Lone Wolf and Cub series a lot, personally, because they always have a trick up their sleeve. And what else? I mean, 13 Assassins is a really good one, and Ron I think across both games, run is a really terrific reference.
Definitely. New mechanics.
Yeah.
Weapon switching is a thing here. No, I know you referenced it last night at during your panel. I lovingly reference it as stance dancing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad we have different weapons to play with this time around. Now, obviously, you mentioned last night in your panel that Jin was a much more honorable person than what Atsu is. Therefore, he stuck to his samurai ways, just used his katana, whereas Atsu has the freedom, for lack of a better word, to kind of explore other avenues as to how she pursues her vengeance, perhaps?
100%.
Yeah.
So Jin is honor bound and struggles with that through the course of Tsushima. But Atsu is out for vengeance.
Mm. Right?
Now, of course, across the course of that tale, it's many twists and turns that make her feel very human and quite... quite emotional.
Yeah, I just finished the Kitsune storyline, so yeah, I definitely can agree with that.
So, you know, it is a story that starts from the simple place of what will it take to hunt down the Yote Six. And when we're creating one of these heroes, you're thinking a lot about, okay, what have we seen in films, in manga, in even anime, and maybe even in videos online of cosplay or of like people who are stunt performers.
Yeah.
And then we're thinking, okay, what is the essence of that hero story? With Jin, honorable samurai. With Atsu, it's the feeling of being a wandering sellsword and a mercenary. Now, she's not formally trained.
Mm.
She has spent 16 years working out how to get it done.
Yeah.
So the weapons were a great way to do this because the animation direction and the style of performance that we have in the combat is a little more scrappy and improvisational, which I find very fun in the game. And then, of course, we have stories and discoverability in the game that reinforces that even more. Atsu's not afraid to try something new if it helps her get to her vengeance or less. But the characters she meets along the way become personal to her as well.
It is fascinating that, although each, because obviously this game is a non-linear to a certain degree as to how you tackle the Yote Six, each of the Yote Six seems to have their own essentially sub-story or side character that you as Atsu kind of have this character development and growth with as you progress through that specific storyline. How did you kind of pick and choose which NPCs would go with which overarching of the Yote Six to kind of marry those two together?
Man, I'm so glad you... identified that, because it's a very challenging narrative problem in front of us. How do we make sure that you can go in all these different directions while also having a story that feels worthy of Atsu, worthy of Sucker Punch, worthy of PlayStation fans? And I don't want to spoil too much, but each one should feel like a mini season of a TV show with a villain who you get to know, a character who makes Atsu reflect
and think
about her decisions.
I don't want to lessen that, but I have attributed it to kind of similar to a Monster of the Week, where you've got a different villain and a different story playing out, but it still progresses the overarching story as a whole, and each individual fills out the narrative more and more.
Yeah, in general, so this time around, we really tried to think about how to handcraft everything and make sure it had a sense of place in the world, contributed to either Atsu or to what we call the valley conflict.
Yep.
Here's what the Oni is doing in this region. How can all these side quests contribute to that overall story? What can we fill in about the 16 years of Atsu being gone that makes you understand Atsu a bit more? Or how can we give you some insight into her personality, even by how she helps an NPC in the world, or even a bounty target in some cases? So some things are like little narrative nuggets that just give you a tiny bit of insight into Atsu or the world. And others are more like full-blown stories, like the tale of the Oni, the tale of the Kitsune. But everything, big or small, comes from that place of how will it contribute to the overall picture of the game.
Yeah. Well, one of the other mechanics that are in this game, and you mentioned filling out Atsu's storyline, is the timeline switching feature that you can do in your homestead. How did that come about? Was that kind of a way to alleviate giving an exposition dump of this is what happened in childhood, or was it more to give the player agency to play out those things as opposed to just have the information delivered to them in a static way?
This might be some of the fanciest PS5 tech ever,
by the way. It's so good, though. Like, it really is. It's fantastic.
You can actually see, you know, how the technology is allowing us to bridge the gap between storytelling and cinematics. I mean, cinematics are fantastic. Those are what let us get really up close and personal with human details.
Yeah.
But on top of that, we're always trying to make the experience feel like it's going seamlessly from gameplay into narrative, back into gameplay.
Certainly does that very well.
So you have a flow. We're trying to create an almost musical-like rhythm in the game. And when you swap back and forth, the fact you can do it on your own, and by the way, explore around a little bit, see what might have changed. Not only is it good for storytelling, I'd like to think that you yourself can A/B the different scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, if you haven't quite grokked what's going on, you can swap back and forth. Oh, this is what it looked like then. This is what it looks like now. And you might see a curious detail you didn't pick up on before. You might see something that makes you think about R2 slightly differently. You might even be just interested in how the world has changed over these 16 years. But by giving you the control to do that, we're flowing you in and out of the narrative into the gameplay, and also trusting that the player might be interested.
It gives a good reason to return to the homestead instead of just going there to upgrade your weapons or anything like that. Every time I go there, I see the little notification in the top left window. It's like, hey, there is something else here to discover if you're willing to. And I was mentioning just before the interview started, I'm about 30-odd hours deep into the game at the moment. I have beaten three of the six. I just finished the Kitsune storyline. The moment-to-moment of traveling from point A to B, as a player who has to do everything in between, is an absolute nightmare. Sometimes seeing that bird fly into my screen is like, oh no, I'm going to get sidetracked for a good 20-odd minutes here. But everything is so delightful to do. It's that, is it going to be a hot spring? Is it going to be a bamboo? Is it going to be a wolf's den? Which are fantastic. Having the addition of Atsu having the wolf as an extra player, I think gives combat an extra dynamic. How do you balance around a companion that is sometimes there, but not always there?
It's a very sucker punch approach.
Yeah.
To lean into mood and tone rather than starting with pure game design.
Okay.
So on paper, you might think, oh, well, I want the wolf with me all the time.
Yeah, I would love to have the wolf with me all the time.
But the wolf is, that's not how the wolf rolls. The wolf is a nearly extinct animal in Hokkaido at the time.
Mm.
And the wolf is not Atsu's pet. So we have to be confident that if we lean into the tone and the mood and authenticity, and even some feedback from our advisors, that players will trust us back in return and appreciate what we're going for when we deliver on something that feels authentic or curious or a little bit maybe tonal sometimes. And so the wolf has these spectacular moments, which I won't spoil for people, and they're live in gameplay, which is, you know, really the coolest way to play with a companion. But I think by doing this, we actually created a different type of companion that you don't see in many other games. It actually feels like a wild creature, and that has made the wolf feel even more special.
Yes, definitely. I guess one of the other big questions that why Hokkaido? In such a how do I want to phrase this? Japan is such a very deeply cultural space, and it has a lot of very beautiful locales to pick from. What was it about Hokkaido that kind of spoke to you and to this story?
Oh, you know, I mean, I think we've talked quite a bit about how it almost feels like Japanese Wild West, which is a terrific setting for a vengeance tale. And also the fact that it's quite ruthless and lawless, so it lets us do really cool content like bounties. But I might almost think that Sucker Punch being in Bellevue, which is very evergreen and full of hikes, and people love to go fishing and horseback riding stuff, might have a little bit in common with Hokkaido as well, where there's this overarching respect and love of the natural and organic world. So perhaps there's something, you know, behind the scenes where we're like emotionally connected to nature.
Fair enough. We'll go to a bit more of a lighthearted question.
Sure.
Through development of the game, I'm sure you came across many a bug.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite that needed to be rectified?
Ah, oh, those are good ones. Oh, well, I'll tell you this much. There's a couple of... There's a film called Ugetsu, mm-hmm. which I absolutely love, which is a Japanese almost ghost story. Yep. And it always struck such a strong image in my head, the moments in Ugetsu where they're boating across these still, inky waters with fog curling around them. And I can confirm that by putting these boating sequences in the game, I made about 500 bugs for people. Yeah, and by the way, the character actually oars. And I think for about 3 years, I've been watching the oars in different positions. And I feel so sorry to our animation team. I'm sorry. I really love that movie, but I probably went too far on that one. I've seen about 100 bugs of people in the water, above the boat, at the back of the boat, in the right position. And I've made a heck of a time for our team on that
one. That's all right. It's all in good fun, I'm sure. Let me just check to see if I've covered all the topics fairly well. I think you've done a fantastic job of kind of covering all my questions really well. We mentioned that Yotai is very much more non-linear than what Ghost of Tsushima was. What was the reasoning behind moving towards a more non-linear open world game as opposed to what its previous title was? I'm a big fan of open world games, but you kind of... some people experience that like analysis paralysis of like, I have too much freedom of what to do, where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to playing a more linear game where it's like, this is how you progress. With Yotai, it's, here's a map, go and explore. Play the way you want to play.
It's a couple of things. One is it's a narrative driver.
Yep.
Atsu is returning home after 16 years, and she does not know what the state of the world is, and neither does the player. So it's a nice opportunity to have what you might call player and hero alignment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having to search out clues for the Yotai-6, and so is Atsu. So it feels like I'm really role-playing as a hero.
Yeah.
Doesn't have all the information they need, and that's terrific for an open world game because you get to explore and have fun in the process too. There's a greater piece of this though, which is that if you're truly inspired by films like Yojimbo or books like Travis Hammond's Heart of the mm-hmm. Ronin, or maybe even Lone Wolf and Cub, these are wanderers, mercenaries and sellswords who move from town to town. So when you pick a hero fantasy like that, okay, we really want to make you feel like a wandering sellsword, you have to commit to it.
Yeah.
And so we made a commitment to make the most open and free game Sucker Punch has ever made. And it all comes back to that feeling of, can we make you feel like a real wanderer who's going from gig to gig, who's seeing opportunities and threats along the way, who has a bounty on their head. And I always joke that Jason Connell in particular felt mm-hmm. so passionately about that we were on a good path by using Yojimbo as a start point. Then when you loaded up the game for many years, it did not say Ghost of Yotai, it said Wanderer.
Oh, wow.
And so when you started work every day, no matter what you were doing, you almost had to think about wandering as part of the experience.
That's fascinating.
Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, that is definitely one way to kind of put yourself into the zone of what it is that you're creating.
Yeah.
Over the developmental period, let's dive deep into the technicals. How long was this game in development for?
We started right after
Tsushima. After Tsushima.
Concept. Yep. Some of the team worked, quite a lot of the team rolled onto Iki Island, and then a small group was incubating the concept of Yotai.
I will ask one final question. I think I'm very close to my time limit here. Okay. I am a huge fan of Legends from the first one.
Yeah.
It is returning for Yotai.
Absolutely.
Will it have a similar feel to how it played out in Tsushima, or will we be involving all the new mechanics around Atsu and the less honorable, having those weapon swaps? Will we have access to a little bit more to play with than what we had the first time around?
I want to give you an answer, but I've been in Australia for the last month, so I actually don't
know fair. That's completely fair. That's completely fair.
But the funny thing is, maybe I'm meant to know. Maybe I'm meant to be working harder on this right now. But actually, I've been too distracted.
I completely understand. But
one thing I will tell you is that Legends Mode is going to be a banger.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait. It was one of my favorite parts of Ghost of Tsushima. The Tales of Io were just so brilliantly designed and played out. I think I was mentioning before the interview, I've played through it about 6 or 7 times with different groups of people each time, and it's just always so much fun.
Some of the concept art was shown in our team meeting recently, and it is fantastic.
Oh, to be a fly on that wall. Well, thank you again for joining me today. I really do appreciate you taking the time out of what I would imagine is a very, very busy schedule this weekend. And just, good luck with everything that's to come. And,
thank you.
Once again, congratulations on such a fantastic launch for Ghosts of Yotei.
Appreciate it greatly. Thanks to everyone who's playing through the game, having a good time. Keep wandering, pal.
Thank you very much.
See ya.